B-Pod Studios.
Mike Missinelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good answer today, buddy. Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5, the Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Lots to talk about today. Big game tonight, although load management altered tonight with the Sixers, and they have to escape this game by not playing Joel Embiid. Get a W. I mean, I hope they're not outsmarting themselves here to rest the guy. And then we got Boston on Wednesday, which is the much bigger game, the much bigger statement game. I understand all of that. So we'll see if they can hold fort tonight and win this game tonight. The other one, Mike Trout. Interesting that people had this opinion these many weeks. The people that were against signing Bryce Harper because they thought that Mike Trout desired to play in Philadelphia. And at the time, I said, you better get off of that because it's not realistic. Because if the Angels came in with a deal of $400 million, he's not going to turn that down. And sure enough, that's what they came in. And so I think what we've seen by this free agent season is the end of free agency as we know it. These guys that are marquee players for their teams are going to get wrapped up before they can get to free agency because these owners know that if they get them now, the price is only going to be deeper if they let them get to free agency. So all of them are going to line up and sign their play. Mookie Betts is the next guy who's going to get the biggest contract, and they're not ever going to let him get the free agency anymore, which makes the Harper thing much more palatable for us. As a fan base, the fact that they allowed Harper to get the free agency was the Phillies' benefit, and we got him, at a lot cheaper price than Mike Trout. Now, is he the same player as Mike Trout? No. But for the people who thought they wanted to save the money, so 2 years later they didn't get Mike Trout because he loves Eagles games and he's building a house in Millville, well, there's just ridiculous thinking. So I'd like to have people, you know, I'd like to have people say today, Tyrone, hey, Mike, you were right. Because Lord knows, 100,000 callers every month call and tell me I'm wrong. Hey, Mike, you were right. You were ahead of the game there when it came to Trout.
You know, I actually am rooting for that, Mike, because over and over again, all you really said was that Mike Trout was a human being.
Yes.
And if any human being, mm-hmm. if someone slaps $400-plus yes. million dollars in front of you, you'll say yes to it. And people, no, Mike, you don't know what you're talking
exactly.
about. He wants to live in Millville.
Yo, he loves it here. Yeah, he loves it here. So he's going to turn down, with 2 years left on his contract, and that owner comes in with an offer that blows away what Harper got. He's going to say no to that because he loves his little home in Millville. Come on, man. You got to wake up and smell the roses here in the year 2019. People don't do that. They don't turn down that kind of coin. So the dream of him playing in the same outfield with Harper is dead now.
Yeah, no opt-outs in that contract, no trade clause. He will be an right. Angel forever.
Nice. I'm sure he's going to have a nice home in Millville. I bet you he's got a really nice home in Orange County.
Yeah, of course.
I like two coasts.
Yeah,
he's got the best of both worlds.
He'll winter. Here.
Yeah. Live in Millville
there.
In the winter. Go out there, do a little farming. Whatever he wants to do. Shoot a couple woodchucks. Whatever he wants to do at the farm. You know, and then he can go back to Orange County where it's nice and warm and trained and go to Arizona for strength training and all that kind of stuff.
Woodchucks.
Yeah, woodchucks.
Is that what they hunt in Millville?
Woodchucks go on farms and eat crops. I actually shot a woodchuck once.
You did?
Yeah. Not proud of it, but I had a buddy who's a hunter. They say that, and it was in upstate PA, and he says the farmers allow you to come on their property and shoot the woodchucks that ruin their crops.
So is it a misnomer that they chuck wood?
I don't know what woodchucks do.
What
I know is they eat crops. But that's off the subject. The other subject that just hit was that Phil Martelli, who coached at St. Joe's 24 years, who I go back with when he was a high school coach. I first started covering sports in this town as a high school writer. And Phil Martelli was the head coach of Bishop Kenrick High School, and his main assistant was Gino Auriemma. That's how far I go back with Phil Martelli. So he's a good friend. He's a great man. He's a very good basketball coach. And so this leaves you kind of on the fence as to what the circumstances are here, because a lot of people think he got wronged. Now, I can tell you that college sports is all about these days. There are two ways you could have gone. You have Phil Martelli coach your team for the rest of his life and be representative and be, you know, good in the community and have a good man at the helm of your program. And then there's the other faction of alums that want to win something. Now, they may be misguided, because at St. Joe's, you can only go so far. You can't recruit top-notch athletes to actually win and compete for a national championship. So you have two ways to go. Now, once St. Joe's hired a new athletic director, the athletic director is a female, came from Notre Dame, what is her mandate? Her mandate is not to keep the same status quo going. She's thinking that, well, if I'm here, I guess the alumni would like us to have better athletic programs, especially basketball, when it's as high profile. Now, it's not as high profile at St. Joe's as it is at Temple, and certainly not Villanova, and there's only so far you can go. So you got to make a decision. Do you want to keep status quo, which is nice, have a good man at your helm, or do you want to take a chance and actually bring somebody in who you think could bring in better players to give you more success on the basketball floor? And it's a tough situation for me, because I don't like to see anybody get fired. I go way back with Dunphy, too, and he's going to be on his ear. And Phil Martelli's been a good man for a lot of years, and I've hung with him. I've been involved with charity events with the guy, and I've covered his teams, and he has had some good teams. But, you know, the other side of it is, new person comes in, and it's the business of sports. And the business of sports is you have to win something. You have to win your league. You have to get in the tournament. And St. Joe's has not had the success that they obviously enjoyed way back when they had Jameer Nelson and Delonte West and that team. And he's actually been to the NCAA tournament, 7 times. He, of course, had the great team where they lost in the regional final, the 30-2 team with Jameer Nelson, losing to Oklahoma State and John Lucas's kid who makes that shot. And then way back in 1996-97, they lost the regional semifinal. So that's the farthest St. Joe's has gone. And the last few years have been fairly lean. So, I don't know. I don't really know how to feel. I feel for these guys that they lose their job because I like them very much. But I also understand the business side on what an athletic administration wants to get done, and they want to win a little more.
Let me ask you this, Mike, because I think that could help a lot of people. What is fair? What are fair expectations for St. Joe's? He's been there 24 years. If I look at it in a vacuum, am I a jerk if I say on the outside he should make the tournament half the time? Is that unfair?
I don't know what's fair. I really don't. I think you have to get lucky in when you recruit it at schools like St. Joe and LaSalle. And they certainly got lucky with Jameer Nelson and Delonte West bringing them in at the same time and forged a team that could win as many games as they did. But you have to hit on a guy in recruiting that everybody has overlooked, the big schools have overlooked, and turn him into a diamond. It's not very easy to do. So that's what they're up against. And that's what I say. That's the dilemma. It's the balancing act for an athletic director. Realistically, how far can we go, and how many good players can we actually get here at this small campus with this small arena when kids want to go bigger time? So you have to narrow your focus on who you can recruit and who you can get in there. And those guys, you have to hope once they get on campus, you turn them into diamonds. It's a very hard challenge.
So that's, I guess, whoever takes that job, whoever thinks about taking that job, they have to figure out what the athletic director's expectations are before they consider it, right? Because isn't that what's going to come down to?
Yeah, athletics expectations are easy to read. They want to get in the NCAA tournament when they're a conference. That's what they want to do. They want to get in the NCAA tournament.
And if that's not realistic, how?
Well, if I'm an athletic director, I got to think it's realistic. I got to think that my staff is good enough to get enough good players to win my league. I'm not asking to win a national championship. I'm asking to win my league. If I win my league, I get in the tournament. So I think that's very fair for an athletic administration to think of.
All right. And then so when it comes down to it at the end, perhaps they think he didn't win his league enough the last several years.
Yes, I think that's fair to say. They were 6-12 in the conference this year, 14-19, 16-16 the year before, 10-8, 11-20 the year before, and 4-14 in the conference. So the last 3 years have been very barren. The new athletic director came in last year after a long time. Don DeJulia left, who Martelli would tie at the hip. This new woman comes in, reevaluates the program, and says, we've had three bad seasons in a row. I got to change things up. I hear alumni squawking at me. She's got pressure. She's got a mandate. She came here to do what? Make the athletic programs successful. So the only way she feels to do that is a change in leadership with the athletic program. Who knows if it'll happen? But again, it's not. You can't look at it and go, "Oh, it's so outrageous that they need to win to keep their jobs. Athletic directors need to win to keep their jobs." The only way they can win is to hire people who can win. So I can't blame the AD, even though I feel real bad for Phil Martelli because he's a buddy. All right, but we'll talk about it. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. It's the Mike Bisignelli Show. Now, let me see what we got today. Because today, not only are we giving away a pair of tickets to the Sixers-Nets game, two pair tickets, which also come with a spot in knockout tournament. But here I have 33 tickets in this envelope right here. So when you call, I'm going to pick a team for you. Like, for instance, if you were the first caller and I said, okay, here's your team you're going to ride for the rest of the tournament. And I picked out Kansas, a 4 seed.
But a good right? 4 seed.
It's a good 4 seed. So you might get something decent like that. Right? And yeah. Even if you get the field, this is a year where maybe somebody creeps in. Some 10 seed creeps in. And you got the field, and you got the rest of the teams from 9 seed on if you get the field ticket. And there's a big prize at the end of the Fishhook. We don't know what it is yet, but we usually come up big with a big prize.
Yeah, it's going to be a big prize. I was talking to Mike McMonagle mm-hmm. about it, mm-hmm. and people are going to really enjoy it.
Oh, cool.
And I think it'll be multiple pairs of a prize. As well.
All right. It's called the elitist pool because I don't believe anybody beyond an 8 seed really has a chance to win a national championship. So I stay with the 8. But I give people a chance in case that happens. If you got the field. All right. It's the Mike Bisignelli Show. We're on 97.5 The Fanatic. We're on NBC Sports Philadelphia. And we're right back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, it's 2 o'clock, or 2:20, excuse me. 2:20 in the Mike Bisignelli Show. And the 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Time to start the Twitter poll with Miss Natalie, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. Attention all landscapers looking to repower a zero-turn or a walk-behind mower. Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie.
So this one's been pretty close so far, over 200 votes early. Did you really think the Phillies were going to get Mike Trout? 49% say yes, 51% say no. So half the people really thought that we were going to get him.
All right, listen. 2 years is like forever to wait to think you were going to get this guy. And the Angels weren't just going to sit there and do nothing. You have to understand that this is a business and they can't lose. Like, an owner can't lose the best player in the game. He just can't. It's like impossible. So he's got to strike now. The Bryce Harper deal comes in. He goes, all right, I got to go $400 million plus, which is what we said a couple weeks ago. And he jumps in, and no agent and no player is going to turn that down for the chance that 2 years later they want to come to Philadelphia. It's just unrealistic. All right, one other thing on this Martelli thing. Here's the other side of it. Like, I take this school, Mount St. Mary's, in near Baltimore, right? That head coach is named Jim Phelan. He was the guy who wore the bow tie. He coached there for 49 years, right? Now, a lot of it was Division II. And he went to Division I. I think he lasted 15 or 16 years, then he retired. But Mount St. Mary's, obviously their administration said, all right, it's okay for us to have this kind of a basketball program. As long as we have this guy of integrity, who's a good coach, and we don't have these delusions of grandeur, and we're okay with that. There are some schools that won't have that kind of a look at it. Like in Philadelphia, when you have six Division I schools that are playing and trying to compete and get into the NCAA tournament, the pressure's a little tougher than a guy like Phelan, who was allowed to coach for that many years at Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah.
So they could have kept Martelli for 14 more years. He could have coached 40 years there, as long as they were satisfied with where the program was, which is, it's a nice program, but it's not going to really do much.
And is there any fear? You said it's tough for LaSalle and St. Joe's. Is there any fear, if you continue with him, that LaSalle ends up ahead of you and now you're behind, obviously, Villanova, Temple, and them as well? Like, is it okay to be fourth in your own city? I'm asking.
I think when you're at LaSalle and St. Joe's hasn't done this way. LaSalle has. You have to rely on transfers who are good players who failed at other universities and junior college kids that you bring in if you really want to have a better team, because you're not going to get the premier guy. Now, you're going to get some kids from the public league, but you're not going to get the best from the public league, because Villanova is going to suck up the best in the public league. So you're going to get the second-rung talent from the public league. And that could be good. But like a new coach could come in and go, okay, I'm going to do it the way LaSalle's starting to bring in these transfers. Guy failed at Auburn, but was a good player, played SEC. I'm going to bring those type of guys in. I'm going to bring a couple JUCOs in who are outstanding JUCO players who other schools shied away from. Bring those type of guys in if you really want to win and get in the NCAA tournament. But it's really hard to recruit good enough freshmen to grow them to a point where you're a viable NCAA tournament team. All right, let's go to Tim in Busselton. Tim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, Tim?
What's up, Matt? What's up, Ty? Listen, all the time, haven't talked to you in about 5 years. Before I get to the reason I'm calling, if any of the four Big Five remaining coaches are left, do the Big Five a favor and go out and whip St. Joe's next year for the way they handled your colleague Phil Martelli this morning.
Well, okay. I don't. What does that mean, handled? I mean, if a coach is going to get fired, he's going to get fired. Like, how do you handle a firing?
Well, I don't really want to get into that right now.
Okay.
I want to get into the reason I called. They
okay.
could have had something else lined up instead of the way they handled it. That's all. All right, reason I'm calling. I've been trying to get a hold of you to win these Sixers tickets for the knockout in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I'm in between jobs right now, and I'm doing lifts. I can't get a hold of you. Okay?
Yeah.
I understand you are a Jay Wright fan, but you are not a Villanova fan.
I love Villanova.
Okay. All right.
Love Villanova.
That's not true! Okay.
That is not true. So, here's a proposition I got for you.
Proposition Joe on the line. Go ahead.
Okay. Villanova wins, and my nephew, who averages 11.1 points a game,
for Nova?
Yes.
What, is Colin Gillespie?
Who?
That would be correct.
Oh, Colin's your nephew? Okay.
That'd be one Colin Gillespie from Huntington Valley.
Okay.
Not,
all right.
Not Warminster.
Okay.
Huntington Valley, Arlesia, if you're listening.
Right.
Okay. Nova wins. Colin scores. He averages 11-point win. He scores 13. I win the tickets, and I'm in the knockout.
Listen, man, I'm not going to root against Villanova. I want Villanova to win.
Okay.
I don't want to bet against Villanova.
Okay. Well, your prize would have been...
You want to be in the knockout tournament so bad?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Tim. You said Colin Gillespie's uncle should be able to shoot it a little bit.
Well, here's the kicker to that.
What?
I'm 53. I'm going to have my son, Tim Jr., shoot for me.
No, that's illegal. That's illegal.
I heard you say...
That's illegal. Sorry, can't do it. No substitutions.
I'll shoot.
I don't trust you now. So now you're going to slide in a ringer. Can't trust you. I was going to give him a game, too. This is the team I picked out for him, Iowa State. Goes back into the hopper.
Yeah, see, he started that call off a little wrong. Then I was with you. Give him the tickets and then he took a turn.
Here's the thing. People say, well, it shouldn't have come down like this. Well, you're an athletic director. How do you soften the blow if you want to make a change and fire a guy? Like, what do you do? What's the right way? What do you do? You give him tickets to Disney World? Like, what's the right way to do? If you're going to fire a guy, you're going to fire him. It's a harsh thing.
Yeah, somebody was mentioning maybe have him in on the statement. The problem with that, of course, is, one, he may not want to participate in that. And then the other part is, what if they have another coach in mind and they're getting ready to pull the trigger or because they think he may take another job? Don't you kind of just have to do it? Because I think you don't make this move without it.
Listen, I think what Temple did was a terrible way to get rid of Fan Duffy. You're going to get rid of him, then you have enough guts to say we're going to go in another direction rather than give him a farewell tour. That's embarrassing to a guy.
I think so.
So, like, is that what the guy's suggesting? You should have done that with Phil. I don't know. There's not a right way to do. Like, if you want to make a change, this is a new athletic director. You got to keep that in mind. The new athletic director has a charge to. She's talking to alums all the time, right? She's probably getting bad feedback from alums. Oh, I want to win. Blah, blah, blah. Well, what's she supposed to do? No. We have a good man here, and you good people go away. And they go, yeah? Well, guess what? Our dollars are going to go away now. Because you got to consider all that if you're an AD. Thomas and Broomall, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, Mike. Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's going on, Thomas?
Good. I want to talk about the whole Mike Trout thing. You know, him, I don't know if it's official or not, the whole 12 years, 430.
Yeah, it's official.
It sucks he's not going to be in a Phillies uniform.
And we were so close to getting him. I mean, 2 years and a construction on a 200-acre parcel in Millville. We're that close to getting him.
Yep. I mean, you know, just because he's an Eagles fan doesn't mean that he has to be a Philly to enjoy games. I'm sure he has his own personal plane or jet. He can just fly over to a game and then fly back or whatever.
Listen, man, it was a pipe dream to think he can get Mike Trout. It really was. Yep. It was.
Yeah. But the thing I don't get is, you know, our Philly team, our Phillies, we have a lot of pieces that we can move up and get to the postseason and further on. The Angels, they have Mike Trout and maybe like a couple other people. I mean, they were fourth place in the AL West last year. I mean, I guess they look at it as here's a bunch of money or here's a chance to go to the postseason in the World Series.
Well, how about this? How about the owner goes, we're going to build this team behind you because you're going to be here for 12 years now. And within 12 years, we're definitely going to win.
I mean, I don't know the future. I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, they're not always going to stink. And besides that, you can't turn down that kind of money. You can't turn down $430 million.
Yeah, I get that.
Come on, man.
He's in a good spot. He's got the warm weather. You know, so
who says the Angels don't turn it around in his time there in the next 3 years? I mean, the Phillies
did. I can only look at what they've done so far in the past.
Yeah, but look
years.
What the Phillies did. They stunk, and all of a sudden they're good.
Yeah, I get it.
Thomas, come on, man. Let's go to Hank in Coatesville. Hank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hank.
Hey, Mike, this is Les Miserables.
What's up, Miserables? What's going on?
No, well, I want to say something to you. You were right about Mike Trout.
No.
You said you were waiting for a caller to say that you were right.
I don't believe it. Les Miserables is telling me I'm right? I don't believe it.
You know why? Because you were right. Because just because he has a house in Millville, because he likes the Eagles, we automatically assume, well, he'll come to Philadelphia. Well, now you see that that's not the case.
Yeah.
Money speaks louder. you know. And here, this is generational money. This is money that will last his grandkids and his grandkids' kids, you know. So I understand why he made that.
People had to know that he was going to be offered the most money in the history of baseball, right? The people here that were saying that he was going to come here. So, like, how do you turn that down? You can't turn that down.
They were being naive and hopeful, that's all.
And I'll tell you what's going to happen, Mizrab. You know what's going to happen? He shows up at Eagles games now, and Carson Wentz gives him a ball. Yeah. He's no longer the favorite son at Eagles games.
Exactly. So
that
really doesn't matter, because this man had to do what he did for himself and his family, you know. And I know he loves Philadelphia, he loves the area, but who actually wants to live in Millville?
He does.
And I'm not trying
he's building a nice house in Millville. Hank, he wants to live there.
Yeah, for after his plan.
He lives there in the wintertime. That's the worst time to live in Millville in the wintertime.
It definitely is.
Now, with all due respect to Millville, what I'm saying is it's a little chilly. You know? He better build like a solar wall around that mansion.
Around that compound? You know what he could do? Like they do in Europe where they have like the... like they in the middle of, like they have this all wall around, then in the middle of the house they have like the, well, I forget what they call it, but it's like so you can insulate it more.
No.
It's like I'm forgetting the name, but anyway, they build the house around it, and the yard's like in the middle, and then like the master bedroom will be on one side. You got the pool.
What you mean.
Yeah, in the middle, and then you can better heat it. So because you're right, it's cold here, and that gotta stink.
I got news for you. He's going to get booed at Eagles games.
That bothers me.
That bothers me, too.
It bothers you. It bothers me. It bothers a lot of people. But you know what's going to happen.
Wait, Mike.
What did he do?
He did not select the Phillies.
He didn't get a chance to. Well, it's 2 years still for agency.
People are saying, you could have waited 2 years to play with the Phillies. You think they're going to process this and take him off the hook?
He is the greatest baseball player in recent baseball history.
Listen.
I'm
giving you realism, Natalie.
I know, but
he comes to the Eagles games now. The landscape has changed. They were hopeful for him that he was going to eventually be a Philly. Now that he rooted with the Angels, he's not going to be looked at the same at Lincoln Financial Field.
When I'm at a game, I used to not care that he was there, to be honest with you, because what do I care that he's there? Now I'm going to cheer him, because any man that's smart enough to take $400 million is a man I want to be friends with.
Right,
you know how the masses are.
I like him more now.
Do you know how you know the masses are not going to look at it that way?
Mike, really? This city has worshipped a fictional boxer for 40-plus years. This is the most accomplished athlete that has come out of this area.
The fictional boxer didn't turn Philly down. This guy did.
But this is a real athlete who's doing incredible things from this area.
Now listen,
and then they're going to boo him.
I live in the world of realism, and I know it's going to happen. Not going to look at him the same.
Any Philadelphian would be stupid if they turned down that. If they turned down $430 million, then they know it.
But the bottom line is, he's still scoring Philly.
Pettydelphia.
Not waiting 2 years.
Pettydelphia.
We got to do better.
Petty.
I want to. Now you brought that up. That we still got some trial callers. I want to hear their answer at the game. Would they give him a boo? After collected, I'm going to give him a cheer. Get your money. I would do the same thing for a plumber. If a plumber was making $80,000 and somebody paid him $180,000,
Go plumber.
Get your money.
You think when he was getting those footballs and people were cheering, what were they cheering for?
He'll be here.
Exactly. Because our future son, our native son coming here in the future. That's what they were cheering for.
I hate that.
Let's go to Matt in Downingtown. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Matt?
Yeah, no more footballs for Brian or whatever, Mike Trout.
He and Wincy are buddies. I saw them together in the Sixers lounge there during halftime when they played the Lakers. They were hanging.
Yeah, no. We got to, he made his decision, and that's fine, and I respect that, so that's all good. But no, I called to talk about the Sixers, and tonight I think it's a big game. I think we're overlooking this. This might be like one of them trap type games. You know what I mean? We got Joel out, and I really think this is a game where we got to see Brett Brown step up as a coach and really coach these guys and work the bench and make this,
the Sixers are only favored by a point and a half. It would not be surprise me if they lost the game, but sometimes you got to know how to lose. Sometimes a maintenance day is more important than a W.
Yeah, I just sort of think we're overlooking this game for the Celtics. And, you know, I'd rather get this win and then play the Celtics just as hard and see what happens there. I just kind of feel like I don't want to throw in the white flag just to look forward to
I get you. I get you. But, you know, it's not going to destroy them if they lost this game, because the greater good is they're at full strength for Wednesday.
Right.
All right. Would you like a team? I got to pick a team out for you here, bro. All right?
Yeah, man.
In the elitist pool, I apologize to the previous callers because I kind of forgot. But here is the team that you ride for the rest of the NCAA tournament. You've got a team with no chance.
Good.
The six-seeded Maryland Terrapins who would have to beat Temple or Belmont to survive
first-round game. Temple, if they went tonight, can take them.
You think so?
All right.
All right, Matt in Downingtown gets Maryland. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, buddy. There it is. Matt in Downingtown.
Are you writing that on the back?
Yeah, I'm writing it on the back.
Oh. That's a good system.
I was going to say, do you want me to start a spreadsheet?
No, it's a good system. Okay. I'll write them on the back of the tickets.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I had this is my system.
You know, last year we had a spreadsheet.
Yeah, but I still wrote them on the back so I can keep track of them. So after the first round of the eliminated ones, I throw away.
Oh.
Yeah.
Simple.
And diluted.
Smart.
Yeah. Thank you. let's go to Kevin in Delaware. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Kev?
I want to talk about a couple of things. One, I want to talk about TJ and Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to talk about Mike Scott,
mm-hmm.
what he did. Okay, Mike, I'm just thinking positively here that TJ can help out Ben. And you're probably saying, what? But I love the way TJ gets to his spots and shoot them 10-foot jump shots. He can help Ben with that. You know, just taking a 10-foot jump shot, getting to his spot.
You want TJ to tutor Ben?
Mike, anything can help, Mike. Anything can help him to shoot a 10-foot jump shot.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be tutored to actually shoot the ball.
But Mike.
TJ can't work on him mentally. He needs to be worked on mentally to take the shot. The shot is okay. He'll shoot it. I mean, you see his form at the free throw line. It's not that terrible. In fact, it looks better than TJ.
I don't think so.
TJ launches the ball from the top of his skull. I've never seen a release on a white man ever like that in my life.
But he makes it, Mike,
I'll make an 8 to 10 footer.
Okay, you know.
Well, I don't know how he flicks that thing from the top of his skull.
I'm just thinking positive, Mike. Now, now about Mike Scott taking that drink. If that was me, I would have said, here, take it. I'm not drinking out of it. Here, Mike, you want it, take it. I want to know if that lady finished that drink. That's what I want to know.
Why? Because Mike Scott tainted it?
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, wait a minute. Didn't the woman taint it before Mike Scott took the drink?
I'm just saying that I want to know if she finished that drink. I just want to know.
Mike Scott took a drink with probably lipstick on it. And come on, man.
Just saying, if that was me, I was here. You can have it.
Okay, yeah. All right. Would you like, Kevin, a team to ride for the tournament?
Yeah.
All right, Kevin from Delaware. Oh, Kevin, you got a Cinderella team that a lot of people think can advance. Wofford, a 7th seed.
Oh, wow.
What do you think, Kev? You feeling it?
I guess.
Wofford. A lot of people like Wofford. Unbelievably that they're a 7th seed. They're a 7. Villanova's a 6. Villanova defending national championship playing in the Big East. Wofford gets a 7.
It's going to work out when Nova's in the Sweet 16, but the 6 is still a robbery.
Well, it's a better draw for them, though.
You know
what's Wofford's nickname? And where are they? North Carolina?
I don't know anything about Wofford. About where they are, I have no idea.
I gotta check it out here. Wofford. It's a cool name for college.
Yeah, I don't mind the name. Wofford.
Well, the Wofford mascot is the, what is it? It's in Spartanburg, South Carolina, first of all.
Oh, it's not bad.
It looks like the Bulldogs.
Alrighty.
Terriers.
Oh, the Terriers?
Yeah, Dan knows.
Oh, it's the Terriers. Terriers. Wofford College Terriers. Yeah, that's right. It's Terriers.
See, I don't like that as much.
You don't like the Terriers?
Nah.
It's very ambiguous.
I don't want the Terriers. That's like a dog group at the like the dog show. Terriers is all kinds of dogs.
It's a small school name, Terriers.
Yeah, that's no good.
Like Boston U are the Terriers, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah.
Most Terriers are small, too.
Yeah, actually, now I want them out in the first round just for being named Terriers. Yeah, that's weak.
Let's see. The cost, $23,000 to get there.
That's not that bad.
Graduation rate, 78%. Acceptance rate, 72%. So you can get in Wofford. Lori Loughlin's kid could have gotten there.
She definitely should have.
I'm in trouble with Wofford, Lori.
You wouldn't have
610-632-0975. We're back after this.
Mike Missanelli on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Mike Miss here for Land.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, 248. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. You know, going way back to that Jameer Nelson team that really put Phil in a national spotlight. He had a couple of offers after that year, and one of them was from Tennessee, I believe. And he decided he didn't want to leave Philadelphia. Now, I wonder, what kind of coach he would have been with where he would be in the pool to get elite athletes and elite recruits, because he would have been able to do that at Tennessee.
I think he would have done pretty well because I think he cared about the kids. So I think that would have shown
through.
He's a good
coach. He's a good strategical coach. And he would have gotten much better players down there. But there's certain guys that are indigenous to Philadelphia. Dunphy's one of them. Martelli's another one. And Jay Wright may be that guy. Philadelphia sucks you in. You don't want to leave it.
It does. That's a tough decision to make, I guess. Stay home, which is obviously great, mm-hmm. or try to go out and expand. And I guess there's no wrong answer, but we probably think it's a wrong answer because when people leave, we get really mad.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. Somebody just called and said, what the AD could have done was let Phil finish out his contract next year. Well, then he's a lame duck. Like, if the AD is ready to move on, you know, what good is letting him coach one more year? At least you pay him for one more year. That's fair. He's got 1 year left on his contract. He's going to get paid on it. And right. Then he can look for another opportunity during that time if he wants one, or he can just chill for the rest of his life.
And you just mentioned that recruiting is the issue. How hard would it be to recruit as a lame duck coach?
It would have been. It would have been terrible. Right? Yeah. Well, now they wouldn't have told him he was a lame duck coach. So that would have probably even been worse.
But LaSalle would have, because LaSalle would have been like, hey, yeah. You see his contract's coming mm-hmm. up. Temple would have if they were in competition for
negative recruiting.
Drexel, Rutgers, Ryder, mm-hmm. they all would have.
Rutgers?
Yeah, Rutgers tries to get Philly kids.
Do they?
Yes. They try.
They still play basketball up there?
You know what? They beat you guys one time this year. You should be quiet.
Be what?
They beat Penn State.
They did?
Yes, at Penn State they did.
No way.
Yes, they did. In basketball. Now, you guys won by one at the rack.
It was basketball? Because I'm not sure they still play it up there.
Yes, it was at basketball. You guys won by one at the rack. Rutgers beat Penn State in Penn State.
I thought they abandoned that program after Eddie Jordan played up there in Rutgers.
Come on, man. Rutgers is a sleeping giant. Sleeping giant.
They've been sleeping for a long time. They're the Rip Van Winkle of college athletics.
That's fine, but they're on the come up.
Let's go to Zeki in Shenandoah. Zeki!
Hey, what's up, buddy?
What's up? What's going on in Shenandoah today?
Hey, nothing much. It's that Michael Bossy waiting for the wife to come home from work. And I have two things.
Well, what's that?
Mike Trout, he's the best player in baseball. He's worth every penny, and sorry we couldn't get him.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as him being booed in Philly, I don't think he'll care with that kind of coin in his pocket.
Well, I don't think he'll like it. I mean, he's been going to the Eagles games as a hero. Everybody, oh, look, it's Mike Trout. Native son. He's an Eagle fan. Yay!
Hey, but listen, let me give you a little Phillies update. Now, mm-hmm. Do you think Kapler, if he don't make the playoffs, at least wild card, will he be on thin ice?
And what it depends on how many games they win.
Hey, I was looking at him. I'm a baseball fan. Hey,
they just missed the playoffs. He'll be back.
Well, listen, you have Nola and Arrieta, the starters.
Yeah.
They're half decent. Arrieta has balls on them, but the mother tree starters, Velasquez, Pavetta, and Eichhoff, you know what I mean? They've been getting rocked at the end of the year last year, so that's going to be their downfall.
Well, yeah, but they can always make a trade at midseason.
Yeah, but do you think if he don't make the playoffs, he'll still be back?
Depending on how many wins they have. If they, like, fall a game out of the playoff spot, he'll be back.
Well, how many wins do you think they'll get this year, Mike?
I think they should be a 90-win team.
Oh, boy, I hope so. I hope you're right.
All right, Zach, you want a team to ride for the rest of the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, give me a team. Hey, I ain't a basketball fan, but I do watch the tournament.
All right, well, as long as you watch the tournament, I'm giving you. Well, guess what you got, Zach? Okay. A number two seed, Michigan. What do you think of that?
There you go. Who am I getting?
Okay, you got it, buddy. So you ride Michigan for the rest of the tournament. Zeki from Shenandoah. Michigan got a shot?
They have a shot.
They don't have a shot.
They have a shot.
None of those Big Ten teams have a shot. They don't score enough. None of them. Let's go to Jeff in Coatesville. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
Hey, Mike. What's going on, man?
Jeff, what's happening?
Hey, man, how dare you be a realist thinking Trout would take more money than, you know, instead of coming to Philly and thinking Nick Foles only wants a couple million because he loves the city.
I know. See, we have this attitude here where guys just say, you know, they want to be here. You know, it's so wonderful here. They just want to be here. It doesn't matter with the money.
No, it doesn't. Like you mentioned, if anybody at any other job, if their boss came to you and said, hey, you want to take less money, but you love being here. I don't know.
Nick Foles went on the gold trail. He went on the Oregon Trail looking for gold.
Boy,
he couldn't wait to call Lululemon to get a deal, for crying out loud.
You're not kidding. You're not kidding. But listen, so the Sixers tonight, yeah, people are talking about trap game. I'm not really that worried about it, like you said. You got to kind of just let the players get their maintenance day, time to get ready, you know. And
JJ Redick needs one coming up. I got news for him.
I think JJ might need two. You're starting.
Yeah, you can't do it against Boston, but you got to do it coming up soon.
No, and I agree. But real quick before, hopefully, you let me get a pick on the team.
Yes.
So you're bringing up Coatesville. So they play tonight against Kennedy Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
There's one other kid that's on the Coatesville team that's actually getting D1 recruits for football from Rutgers, Toledo, and Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
But the kid to look for is Dupree Bryant. He is quietly averaging about 25.
Is he a big dude?
Really hard. No, he's a guard. Again, he's only 5'8". Coatesville's guard are what keeps this team intact. But like I said...
Well, who's Kennedy Catholic?
You know, I was trying to look into it. I think it's a Western PA.
Oh, okay. Team. All right.
But yeah, their game's tonight at 6 o'clock.
All right, well, let's go Coatesville. Let's go Zamir Brickus. All right, let me give you a team here.
Let me
dig into the bag so people... See, this is on TV, so people know it's above board. I'm not even looking at it. I pick out a tag. You got a Big Ten school. Purdue.
Okay.
Purdue is the third seed. You all right with that?
I'm all right with it. Like you said, the Big Ten don't really score that much, but, you know, I'll take it.
Purdue could surprise Tyrone. They have probably the best chance of anybody in the Big Ten, don't they?
Well, Michigan State.
Yeah.
Although Michigan State has to play Duke in the eight, which is tough, obviously.
Purdue can surprise.
Yeah.
They're a good squad.
Always like Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
I like that program.
Yeah, go back to Comeover.
Yeah,
dude,
going back to Comeover, dude.
Who came out of Purdue?
Well, my favorite
from Comeover.
My favorite is the big dog.
Oh, that's right. The big dog was Purdue.
They lost in the eight to Grant Hill and Duke.
Uh-huh.
Grant Hill was the only guy on that squad, but he got Duke to the four.
Said Comeover had a couple of white dudes. Did he?
That made the league though.
But Etwan Moore was a Purdue guy. I don't know if he was Gene Cady.
I don't remember.
I'm gonna research it during the break. Purdue all-time basketball players. 610-622-0975. Jason Stark is going to join us. We'll talk a little Phillies baseball and what's going on with them. Bryce Harper, the bottom three rotation guys, all that, and Carlos Santana smashing the TV. I wonder if Jason knew about that last year. We'll ask him. It's coming up. Mike Masinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.